So this morning, I want to talk about humility is fruitful. I say that because I think when you say humility, it's almost like a bad word. I mean, humility, lose confidence, don't be clear, be timid. No, humility is fruitful. It's a sober judgment of oneself, as Romans describes it. And when you understand it properly, it takes focus from yourself and to God and how God can use you to serve other people. So humility is fruitful. It's not a bad word. It's not a word to put you down. Really, it's a place of strength, finding God and being guided by God. So here in Matthew 23, it says, "The greatest among you must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." There is power in having a sober judgment of yourself. It's humbling because you accept the strength, weaknesses, and all the things that God has given you. You say, "Thank you, God, for all that." You're not trying to compensate it and run away from it. You're not trying to be unreal. You're who you are, but you're saying, "God, you can help me change what I am not good at because you're already doing other things with me already." Amen? Amen. So understand this. The world tells us, don't be humble. Be strong and do all that stuff. It doesn't help. I had two dogs. One dog was called Momo, and from the character in Avatar, the smallest dog, very feisty. Jack Russell and Poodle, very feisty. And had another dog. Bruno was a big dog, African dingo that was close to my knee. Quiet dog, and his job was guarding the home and was very quiet, didn't do much. But guess what? Every day, Mom was trying to bite the African dog. Momo was trying to African Bruno, the other dog. All the time. And one day, he decided, "I'm going to take care of this." But I was there holding the chain so hard as he was trying to go and bite the dog. And I said to myself, "What's going on here?" Momo always had this idea that he was in charge of the place. Bruno never cared about who was in charge. He was just a big dog that was ready to protect the home. And I think that sometimes we can be like the small dog that is always making so much noise. Says, "I'm in charge, I'm in charge." And the big dog that says, "You know, I'm okay. We all got this home. We're fine. Why do we need to keep fighting for these spaces?" He was very content, very calm, until he walked in without somebody that he knew. Then you would know that he was ready to get you. While good old Momo was going to come at everything and anything. My point is, I think that many a times, we are always trying to deal with our insecurities by not being humble. We just refuse to be humble before God. And so we don't deal with our insecurities well, and we don't grow, and God doesn't walk with us well. I also think that depending on where you are on stage in life, you can lose humility. Look at this. The older you get, the more quiet you become. Life humbles you deeply. As you age, you realize how much nonsense you've wasted time on. Yeah, when I hang out with the old folk, the other day I was hanging out with Steve. He says, "You know, the more I've gotten older, some things I just don't see the point of responding to that." But when I think of myself at 18, 16, I responded to everything. I had to have the last word in every conversation. We can get in that space. I have to get the last word in every conversation. But as you get older, life has a way of talking to us and taking through. And sometimes we tend to look at older people as not knowing stuff. Sometimes you've seen so much stuff that you don't want to say anything. You just want to be calm about it. Another way of telling this story of humility and how powerful it is this. It's, look at this river. I just was Googling around the Mississippi River. So this is the... Oh, I went too far. Let me go back this way. This is the source of it. The source of a river is always small places and they form tributaries. And they say the Mississippi River starts in a very small tributaries that come together. And at that place, it's clear, it's running fast, but it's cutting the bank, but it's driving everything down. By the time it comes mid the river, this side looks in the middle of the river. This is the young river, the youthful side. Here's how it looks as it gets into the middle. It begins to meander because the weight, it's carrying so much that's been wiping throughout. It's been carrying a lot of stones and everything's coming from the top. It's becoming heavy. It begins to take different directions. In other words, the river will find a path even in the most difficult places, but it's now beginning to let go of stuff here in the middle. And that's why it widens. By the time it gets to the ocean, here's how it looks like. It's bring all that stuff and leaving it there. The lagoons are forming, and it goes to the ocean. And I want to explain to you that if you think about water, it's a very humble, water is very humble. No amount of stuff you put ahead of it, it'll find a way to go. It'll just avoid it and keep going. But it starts, when it's starting, it's fast, it's quick. By the time it comes midway of life there, it begins to create this widening. It's much more accepting. It's much more lifting and letting go of stuff. By the time it gets to the very end, what we say, the mature age of the river, that place, it's letting go of a lot of stuff and coming to a bigger body of life, which is the ocean. If you pay attention, God has been working on you. You may have started off very fast, clear, and thinking you know everything, and then come midlife there. And midlife is a challenging place. There's a lot of things that you need to let go. You need to let go. The guys in the 40s and coming up towards to 51 and 60s, you're coming to your midlife and trying to let go of that stuff. And as you age further out, you need to realize that you come to a bigger truth, the ocean. And that takes humility to understand that God is bigger than everything. And I think that when we resist this truth of humility and how fruitful it is, that God actually works with us when we're humble, when we stop controlling and we start being in the way of God, that we lose out on the blessings of God. So let us look at some of this fruitfulness we can get. Humility reconciles our relationships. One of the things that are most challenging in any human being's life is relationships. Relationships at home, relationships at work, relationships in the neighborhood, relationships on the road, relationships on the malls. You can have all kinds of issues there. The Bible says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I mean, if you think about it, if God was keeping a record of our sins, could anyone stand? And yet, if you think about it today, one of the biggest issues about why we're not so happy as a people is we've let relationships destroy who we are. It can be a marriage, it can be life, it can be the family you come from. Are you ready to let go? That takes humility. That takes humility. Let go of hard feelings. Forgiveness is the foundation of reconciliation. Then you can let go of hard feelings and come to a place of, okay, God, you are at work. What are you doing with this? You see, if you don't let go of stuff, it begins to control you. And you start fighting back. But you're not submitting. You're not letting God work with you. That's humility. Humility is saying, God, what is the purpose of what's going on right now? If God doesn't keep records, why are we keeping records? If our God doesn't keep records, why are we keeping records? I understand it's one thing to forgive people. It's another thing to trust them. I'm only asking you to forgive them. Trust is an issue that you'll have to work through another way. Does that make sense? But forgiveness, surely that we can do. Does that make sense? It takes humility to forgive people. Trust is another issue. I'm not getting into that today. I'm just getting in forgiveness. Because that's what God is asking you and I to do. When you let go of that stuff, God really brings us alive. If you think about it, you're held back because you've not forgiven. If you just did that one thing, letting go, forgive, and you'll be amazed. Cancel the debt. How joyful you'll come back feeling and how you'll see God walk with you. Amen? Humility trusts the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. It's very easy to get proud and turn to false gods. One false god is the way I think, the way I tend to think, oh man, I must be right all the time. No, the Bible tells me whether I'm right or wrong. That's where I check my thoughts. I can't just assume I'm right. I check my thoughts with, what does the Bible say? Blessed are you who give yourself over to God. This is the Message version. Turn your backs on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The biggest challenge you can have is just trusting God and say, you know what, God, you have me today and you have tomorrow. I'll not worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Never be afraid to trust the unknown future. Just know God. It doesn't mean you don't have a plan, but trust God because your plan may get a detour from time to time. You may be planning to go straight and something may go off. So my challenge to you today is know God and trust Him. Not just say, I know God, but do you trust Him? Are you at peace with what's going on in your life today? Good or bad, are you at peace? Because God has your future. We tend to think, I'll be happy if the future looks bright. No, you need to be happy irrespective of what's going on. Because God has your future. You have to trust God to take care of you. That means that you stay humble with God. Otherwise, you try to control it and you don't really have that control. It's a mirage. You think you have control, but you don't. You can plan, but God determines how those steps go. So if you can enjoy the journey today, it's amazing. Let me tell you a story. There are times when I've worried about so many things. Then I look back in history and I say, what was the purpose of that? Because I never changed anything. Have you ever thought about that? That you worried about this, you worried about that. Then you wake up 10 years later and I wish I'd just gone through that life without worrying. Because you're wasting time. You're burning good memories. Let go and let God walk with you. That's humility. Trusting God, that's humility. You know, it's amazing how we can trust people we don't know. I mean, you get in a plane and you trust the pilot. You don't know the guy. You don't know where he slept, what he was drinking or smoking, but you're going to take enough blame. Yeah, you know, you go and buy food from the malls. You don't know where the food came from. You just trust it's good. You go in a restaurant and order. Yeah, that food must be good. You trust. Why can't we trust God like that? We do trust people. Why can't we trust God like that? We do the same thing. You get in a bus. You don't know where the bus driver comes from. You just trust he's going to take you someplace. You get in a train going downtown. You think it'll get there. You trust. We can do the same thing with God. Actively trusting God and having that lifestyle transforms how you live your life. When you're not trusting God, you hold back a lot. You're full of tension. You're anxious. Life passes you by and you wake up one day and you have 2 days to leave. And you wonder what happened. You were anxious. You didn't humble yourself before God and let God move with you. We got to understand this. Trust God. He'll take care of the future. Humility heals us. Church, I know you're all, many of you have been baptized and had forgiveness for sins and you are saved. Amen? But you're not healed necessarily. If you got baptized broke, you came back broke. You still need to learn how to walk with money. You need to get some good habits, spiritual habits around how to walk with money. Amen? Yeah, you may have been baptized and you are angry and you forgave people, but you got some grudges. You got to let go of that stuff. Does that make sense? That is healing stuff. And many of us want to say, but I'm saved. That's just the start. Healing continues. Many of us don't have good, deep friendships with people because we've not healed. We are afraid of people. We are afraid of things. We got to heal. The Bible says, but consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. Sometimes we get disciplined by God because of our own sin. We go through tough times because of our own sin, but we get angry with God. The Bible says, for though he wounds, he also bandages. He strikes, but his hands also heal. I don't know about you, but I think you need to ask yourself this question. Do you think that you go through a bad time because God does not love you? God loves you doubly. In fact, when you go through many bad times, God is with you right there. He teaches you a lot of lessons in those difficult times. And I know we like to say, but why me? That's like asking, why do I have this hand? There are people without a hand. And they're very happy. I've been watching some videos of the guys that talk about, what is your excuse? There's one guy that talks about that. He has no hands. He can swim. He can do everything. And I said to myself, wow, he has an amazing testimony about life. And yet sometimes we get in this space where, yeah, life hasn't given us the best cards, but we can heal and let God walk with us through that direction. Does that make sense? Then we can turn around and show God and show people who God is because God has healed us. Does that make sense? Humility is also healing virtue. It is, how do you pronounce that word again? Cicatrizes 1,000 wounds, which pride would keep forever open. Humility can heal you. Pride will not. Pride says, I am never going to let this go. So I have a challenge for you. Are there people you're having grudges with? I ask you that you begin to forgive them today. I may have said now, but I don't have that power because it's up to you. And I want to challenge you to say, you know what? I need to have deep relationships because that's what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is how I can help other people to know God. You cannot do it by being an island. You got to have relationships. And if people are visiting, reach out to them and get to know them. Let them know you and you know them. I want to challenge us a little bit. I want to ask you to have people in your house a little bit more. Invite people in your house. I thought I would get more amens on that one. Let me talk about this for a moment. If I know your house, I may show up incognito sometimes. But here's the deal. Having people come to your house, they were devoted to fellowship. Does that make sense? It's okay. Have people come to your house. Or what am I going to give them? Give them water. Give them water. You don't need to do anything with that. My house is not so clean. That's not a problem. They can help you clean if that's not your problem. The excuses we give, oh, we tell ourselves stories to keep us in the same place. What will people think about me? We think that you're awesome. And we think that you're hospitable, that you invited us in your house. Well, I went to the house, and why are you comparing? We are who we are. Amen. It's worldly when you go in that direction. It's worldly. You lose the aspect of humility. Does that make sense? You get competitive. You stop God from getting people in your life. This morning, Alan talked about being disrupted. Sometimes people come and you didn't have them on the schedule. Have a conversation anyway. And if you need to go, let them know I needed to go, but it was nice seeing you. Does that make sense? We really need to embrace that. I think that this is, it heals. When you're healed, you're not afraid of people. You connect with them, you have conversations. Does that make sense? I mean, I've been in times when I'm not healed, and I've been around people, and I just have headaches being around them. Just being around this, I'm having a headache. I'm like, why am I having a headache? I need to confront this issue. Yeah, I'm not the only guy that goes through that. I think many of you guys go through that sometimes. Anyway, moving on. Humility repents. This is another word that some people can feel like, why is he talking about repentance? I'm not a harsh preacher trying to tell you to repent or you're going to hell. That's not my point. Repentance is an outward mindset. It's a change of mind. Does that make sense? You change. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. I guess the sons weren't repentant. But humility enables us to have broken hearts when we sin or make mistakes and make it possible for us to repent. Many of us are controlled by shame and guilt. If you make a mistake or you sin, instead of coming to humility, godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 11, we get shame, we get guilt, and we start hiding. We rationalize. We don't talk through things. And this thing keeps us in the same place. If you only said, God, I made a mistake. I sinned. Help me out. God will listen like he did to Ahab. Does that make sense? You know, the idea that you're perfect, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. So who is kidding who? We all know that we sin. But some of us act like we've never sinned. We don't talk about it. And when people sin, we jump on them like nobody's business. We don't talk about it with love and grace and truth. So hence we don't have friends because we judge and we are afraid to be judged and we hold back. And so the church stagnates and becomes a sick place. But if we are open and we're talking through our issues, we repent, we are growing, we are happy, we're not judging one another, we're growing and God's name is glorified and we can help the world. So repentance is not a bad word. It just means I was going the wrong way and I have to turn back and find the right way. So repentance is not a shaming word. Repentance means I've come to a realization that, you know what, this is not godly. Either in my marriage, at home, as a single person, as whatever, as a professional, whatever it is, and I need to make some differences in my life, so I change. So humility repents. When you're not repenting, you're rationalizing, you're proud, and you're fighting all the way. I have found out that when I'm not repenting, I'm very angry. That's what I found out about me. I think you guys go through the same thing. When you're not repenting, you're very angry. You're sharp with words. You're ready to fight. You can't get me. I'm going to get you first. But when you're humble and you're repenting, you're not fighting. You're like, yeah, it's good to see you, man. What's going on? I want to put that to your heart. There may be things that you need to repent of. Find another man who can help you walk that journey of repentance, and you will overcome. We're not in the business of shaming and guilting. We're in the business of repenting and finding a relationship with God, and then really using that and turning around and serving other people. Amen? All right. Humility grows us. This is our final one. If you are repenting in everything we've talked about, you will begin to grow. Growth is not just the aspect of numbers, but it is also you spiritually as a person. You will start growing. You grow, you begin having the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, patience, kindness, all those things start to come to you. 2 Peter 3:17 through 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. This morning I'm trying to forewarn us about the values of being humble and how God can walk with that. Then it says, but grow in the grace. Many of us have overlooked the idea of I'm saved by the grace of God. So, because we don't understand it well, we're shamed easily and guilted easily. And so we go into performance mode. Instead of, I need God to help me, we perform. And we think that the more we perform, the more we find purpose. Get the grace right. The rest will follow. Accept that you're no good without God. And God will help you out. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. The part, reason of us growing in this area is to give honor and glory to God. This quote here says, every good thing in Christian life grows in the soil of humility. Humility is soil. If you're going to put a seed down, you need humility to be in the place. Without humility, every virtue, every grace withers. When we are lacking humility, growth dies out. You stop growing. We need to know, to learn more about God, learn more about each other, learn more about different generations. We got to be interested in the young people in the congregation. Young people need to be interested in the more mature people in the congregation. I don't mind the word older, by the way, but I'll use the word mature, amen? There's nothing wrong with being older. It just simply means you've matured all this stuff. Does that make sense? So, that's why Calvin said humility is first, second, and third in the Christian faith. I think he was right in that. When we lack humility, something goes terribly wrong in our ability to grow, connect in our families, with children, with spouses, with friends, as single people, as campus people, as teens. When humility is not there, we're always in the game of, I know, you can't tell me, I know. It's very hard to talk to that kind of a person. Even if they don't say, I know, in their hearts they say, I know, it comes through their ears. You can tell they're saying, I know. You can't tell them anything. And the challenge with that is that we cannot have a godly environment of humility where God works powerfully. I hope and pray that you can embrace that quality and be an outward mindset person as you think through God and what He can do for you when you humble. God bless you.